Tonight I'd like to share with you a perspective and a thing that's been on my heart as I think about God's Word. And I'm going to give you and prompt you to think about this perspective. We're going to look at the Ten Commandments. And when I think of the Ten Commandments, I think of this. Unable to keep by design. The commandments are unable to keep by design. And that is my title. I invite you to join me over to Exodus 20, 3 through 17. And in that area, we've been there many times. For these are the commandments that God gave to Moses to give to the people, to the nation of Israel. And these are the commandments and the laws regarding sin in our lives, regarding the physical acts of sin in our lives. And while I'm not going to read all verses 3 through 17, we can go through them and think about the first four that are between man and God. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verses 4 through 6, commandment number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, idolatry. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verses 8 through 10, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the next six are between man and God. And number 5, as I get older, that's one that I kind of like in a way, father of 3 kids. Verse 12, honor thy father and mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. This is one we'll focus on tonight, as well as the next one. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And finally, verse 17, thou shalt not covet. And we've been in this section of the Bible, I'm sure, many times in our lives. We've heard many sermons, many discussions on the Ten Commandments. But I would propose to you tonight a different perspective of the Ten Commandments, that they are unable to keep by design. And if we look and think about it, following Exodus, we turn to Leviticus. And Leviticus has many of the offerings in detail that the Levites were told how to give. And in chapter 4, verses 1 through 35, Leviticus spells out the sins of ignorance. That even if the law is not known, there is a sacrifice to be made to cover those sins. Chapter 5 is the sin offerings. It describes those offerings that are given to cover sin. And you're welcome to turn to Leviticus 5, 1 through 19, but I am going to read verses 5 through 10 in particular to talk about what is given as instructions for sin offerings. And starting in verse 5, and it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in all that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin, which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven of him. So I might say that when we think about the commandments, why go in such detail? If the law was able to be kept by man, if man had his ability to keep the law of God, why go into such detail? Why so much detail about the sacrifice? Why so much detail about the blood to cover that sin? And if we look at James 2, verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So even if we are able to keep all one of these and fail in one, you might as well have failed in all of them. And while we think of these physical acts, commandment 6, thou shalt not kill. And that would seem pretty decent of us as humans not to kill another human. It seems like one you should be able to keep. And then as we move on to 7, commandment 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Again, that should be one that you should be able to keep. And many of the ones between man and God seem reasonable to keep till you get down to number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. And then how many times in your life have you told a lie? False witness is a lie. And that one lie makes you a murderer. That one lie breaks all the laws. So in Romans 7:7, it says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For had I not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." So when I think of the commandments, yes, they are God's definition of sin. But I would think that these were given not for the purpose of keeping them all. Everything has been set up to fail. You break one, you break them all. So even if you try and keep the whole law, it's just knowing about what sin is. It's given to you know what is sin in God's eyes. It is a measuring bar to know that we were dead in our sins. There is no redemption of ourselves. There is no righteousness of ourselves. We are dead according to our flesh. But if we use these commandments, how can someone be saved before they are lost? How can you know that you need a Savior? You need to realize and fully believe that you are lost in your sin. These commandments you cannot keep. Could that be by design? I usually don't like social media. I don't like online. But I would offer this up, that there is a sermon by a man named Rabe Comfort. It's called The Ten Canons of God's Law. And it is available on YouTube. But it's a very provoking and powerful to think about that the law is used to get people lost. The law is used to convict and condemn. It's setting that measuring bar. It's showing that you cannot earn your way into heaven, like many would believe. So part of what I'm presenting is that it's my feeling that God's law was not given for us to fulfill. It was given to us to fail. It's pointing out what sin is. It's the measuring bar that I and we cannot live up to, save one. His name is Jesus Christ, who came not only to fulfill the law, but to raise that measuring bar and to add an additional dimension to sin. In Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So when we think about the Old Testament, we think about the Ten Commandments. They're physical in nature. They're physical acts. But once Jesus Christ had come to fulfill the law and died and was resurrected, the law was fulfilled. But now, those commandments and those sins are not just physical acts. They're acts of the mind. They're thoughts. They're mental states. In Matthew 5:21-22, it says, "Ye have heard that this was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Verse 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The bar has been raised. A new dimension has been added. It is no longer a physical act that breaks God's law, that we wouldn't be able to keep in the first place. But now it's been raised even higher. Now to think in anger, without cause, to dislike someone. And woe is me, I am guilty of this every day when I don't have the love of Christ as I run into everyone. Someone that cuts me off in traffic. Someone that butts into me in line in a grocery store. And my first thought is, how dare you? And how I feel about that person. But look in our society in this country today, we are so pushed to hate each other. We are so divided. And that's why I feel the Ten Canons of God's Law as a sermon is very powerful. It gives us an example to show people their need for God. And to show them that if they have hate in their heart, they are a murderer. And with the Ten Commandments fulfilled, and now as a thought, I stand before you as a murderer. I speak to a room of murderers. We have broken the law. And not only that, now when I have anger in my heart, when I have dislike and no love, I am a murderer. In Matthew 5, 27, 28, it goes on to say, you have heard that it was once said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Look and desire is now considered adultery. Where the physical act before may have been easier to do, it's even harder now when it's thoughts. And then again, look at our society. Look in our country today, how we are pushed not only to normalize perverted desires, but we're also condoned and pushed to live a life of lasciviousness, to live in lust, to live in desire. And these are emotions, to desire, to hate. These are emotions. These are not physical acts. These are thought of the hearts, the heart, and not actions of the body. This measuring bar has been raised high. So even if you thought that you could keep the law physically as it was given originally, there's no way we can keep this law mentally in our thoughts. And I want to show you, there was a time that I was blessed to have the opportunity to work with kids. My wife and I have worked with kids off and on. And we were involved in King's Kids. It's a program, kind of like Awana is another program, to help minister to kids of younger ages, to bring the Word of God in a different setting and in a different way that they understand. And I was asked to speak for these kids. And I wanted to see what they would say when I would take my Bible and I held it up and I said, what is this? What is this? What did kids say? The obvious answer, it's a Bible. But what I wanted the message is kids to understand, is kids that unconditionally love their parents and others. I wanted kids to understand that this, from cover to cover, is a love letter from God. And the message of that letter is not all about God's law. It's a message of grace. It's a message of mercy. It's eternal life in the presence of our Creator. This love letter is also about the blood given by a living God that doesn't just cover sin, as was shown in Leviticus, it washes it away. Totally forgotten. And that grace and mercy, they're both provided in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is a peace and a comfort in salvation, which is the promise of a glorified body free from sin. And someday, we will no longer be tormented by this sin. So if you look at the past, the present, and the future, the past is the promise of Jesus. It is the first half of that love letter. It is the Old Testament, where God's laws were defined against physical acts. Today, the present, That's after the gift of Jesus Christ. That is the second half of this love letter, the New Testament, where God's laws are defined in mental terms, in our thoughts, in our thought life. So what is the future? The future for those that are saved, there will be no law needed no longer to measure us. Our glorified bodies will be no longer grafted to sin. And I would say tonight, if you do not have the hope and the peace of an eternal life free from sin, please seek out the one today that fulfills the law, that law that is unable to be kept by man, by design. Please come to the understanding that you alone cannot keep the law, and you are in need of a Savior. You are dead in your sins, condemned to spend separation from your Creator. The law has been kept. The sacrifice has been made. His name is Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior if you do not know him today. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the law that you've given us. We thank you for our love letter. And most of all, we thank you for a Savior that just doesn't cover the sin, but washes it away to be forgotten, to be clean, to be fresh, if we merely come to you and ask for forgiveness, repent of those sins, and ask our Lord to live in us, live in our lives, and touch us, that we would be filled with that peace and that hope of knowing that sin does no longer condemn us, no longer has a control over our lives. Just pray that those of us that have Jesus in our hearts would use that life given. Let us shine. Let us be joyful and tell the great news to everyone we meet. And it's for our Lord's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.